Paul Jarchian every Saturday at 10 on The Fan.
It's Vikings Purple Past on The Fan.
Bumps it out to the left to the 15. Sprints inside the 5. Touchdown!
Now, celebrating the great past years of Vikings football, here's The Fan's Mark Rosen.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to our first edition this year of what we're calling Purple Past. If you recall, a season ago, we did the Vikings at 50, talking to some of the greatest Vikings in their 50-year history to ever participate and wear the purple. And I've had a blast with this show, and I know by popular demand, we're bringing it back. I've gotten a lot of emails from fans saying, talk to so-and-so and talk to so-and-so. You all have your favorite Vikings. I do, too, growing up here. Watching them as a kid, getting to know them and interview them from the Fran Tarkenens to the Jim Marshalls to the greats, you know, the Hall of Famers, the Chris Carters, and segueing into doing Rosen Sports Sunday. And I had a lot of fun guests in the course of the time that I was doing the show with the Viking players. Now, of course, we do it with Pete Bursich. And one of my favorite guys is our first guest tonight. Always had a smile on his face, always had a little edge to his conversation. The one and only Henry Thomas joins us from his home in Houston. Good evening, Mr. Thomas.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to hear your voice, and we have so much to talk about. The fans want to catch up on how your life has been. But just to recap, Henry Thomas, after a terrific career at LSU. Oh, by the way, LSU won a pretty good football game the other night, I understand, right?
Pretty impressive, weren't they? They're pretty impressive.
They sure did. You were selected in the third round of the 1987 draft. Man, it seems like just yesterday. Maybe not to you. So you came to the Minnesota Vikings, and I was reading that they gave you a playbook at minicamp. You took out all the pages, copied the defensive plays, brought them home with you, and then you had your mom calling out plays and stunts. Man, that's aggressive. That must have been an indoctrination to the NFL for you.
Well, it was, you know, I didn't know what to expect. You know, once you left college, it's like, okay, you watched them on television, you saw the pros. You didn't know what to expect, so when we got to the first minicamp, I thought, okay, we'll do some drills and running, and then they throw a playbook at you. It's like, okay, they mean business, so I better learn this stuff.
Well, it was fun, and right away, my goodness, I mean, you got the nose tackle position as a rookie. Yes. I think you led him with 81 tackles. You recorded, I think, 80 or more tackles 5 straight years. I mean, you at wearing number 97, you relied on your quickness a lot, did you not?
Yeah, my quickness and my knowledge of the game. I had I've been blessed with great coaches and great teammates, you know, and Keith Malone and Chris Dolman, and we studied film, you know, we studied tendencies, we studied how the players that we played against, what they like to do and how they did it, and it just helped us in our career.
Well, you were quite a force. You had yourself, as you mentioned, and Dolman. Al Noga was around. Keith Millard.
Yes.
Randall. Oh, yeah. Johnny Randall. We can get into Johnny Randall in a minute as well. But, I mean, people forget. We always think about the Vikings and their offense. You had some pretty good offensive players as well. But you guys had the top defensive ranking, I think, in the NFL. And you guys had 71 sacks. I mean, that was one shy of the NFL record. That's just amazing to think about with that group you had.
Yes, that was amazing. We, almost everyone, I think 60-some of the sacks were recorded by our defensive line, so it was just, we just had a phenomenal group of guys that really, when it was time to go to work, they worked really, you know, they went at it, and then when it was time for us to relax and have a good time, we had a good time.
Now, correct me, I got to go back and scratch my memory, is Floyd Peters the defensive, who was your coach?
Yes, Floyd Peters was our
Sergeant Rock.
Coordinator.
Sergeant Rock.
That's right.
Now, he was a piece of work, wasn't he, to work for?
Yes, he was. He was, you know, very animated, very boisterous about everything, you know. Even when you did it right, he had something to tell you about it, you know.
Well, I mean, it's one thing that you get in the league, Henry, and you're a third-round draft pick, and you wanted to have a long career. But, man, do you ever think you'd last as long? You played 14 seasons in the NFL, which is really amazing. I mean, you think of a great career in the NFL, it could be anywhere from 3 to 5 years, 6 years.
Right.
You got 14 in.
Right. I was very fortunate. I was very blessed to have, you know, great teammates. And then in the 14 years, I was blessed with good health. I think I missed seven games in 14 years.
Wow.
So, It's definitely different.
Yeah, I mean,
to last that long, especially nowadays.
Yeah, it's unheard of. It really is, especially with the specialization, salary cap, and all that. Speak of salary situations, I mean, you played here quite a while, and then you had an opportunity after the 1994 season to test the free agent market, and you know, you played a bunch of playoff games. You led the league in defense. I mean, all that stuff that was going on, and then you decided to go to the Detroit Lions. You signed a pretty good contract with them. What was that process like?
Well, it was, like I said, it was all new to me. I mean, it was, everything was like, I was, you know, like you said, I got the opportunity to test the waters, and I was a Viking. You know, I thought I was going to be a Viking forever.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the contract was over, and I was 27, 28 years old, and I never forget, they said, well, you 28-year-old nose tackle, whatever anybody else would give you, we'll match it. You'll just be here.
Mm-hmm.
And then this opportunity came, and I called him up, and my answer was, have a great career.
I suppose so. And you're thinking of your family at that point. I mean, look, we know that in the NFL, unlike other sports, the only thing that's guaranteed is the contract that you're playing under for that year and the guaranteed money you get up front. So that was a nice little perk for you at that point.
Well, at that point, yeah, because, you know, our guaranteed money then was whatever you can get in the signing bonus. That was the only thing you got guaranteed, and you had to go from there. So it was a great opportunity, and then to see things from a different perspective, because, you know, everyone always asks, well, what team did you like playing for the best? I mean, I liked all of them. Each one of them had something special to me, you know, like, the Vikings, the purple and gold. It was the same as I was at LSU. It was my first team. It was my first love. You know, Detroit, they were so pro player with the owners. You know, the owner being the owner for so long, he was right there. You know, when I played for the Vikings, there might have been, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 different owners at one time, and we never knew them. And then to be, you know, have those tangibles where he's there and he wants to know what's going on and how this was going. And then I go to New England,
mm-hmm.
and play outside on the grass. I had no idea. I was beating myself up on that turf.
Until you finally got to play. Yeah, you played with New England the last, I think you became their 4 first.
Years.
Yeah, unbelievable. And so who was on that team? Belichick, was he coaching then?
I played 2 years under Belichick. Pete Carroll was the coach the first 2 years, and then Bill came in and just did a phenomenal job with selling a team concept is what he always did. If you're on the team, if he said, okay, you go play cornerback, you trusted in it and you went and played cornerback.
Could you sense the greatness that was going to become the surly one, as we like to, maybe people refer to him as, could you sense that early on when he first came to England, he was going to be the
absolutely. I mean, he had been, you know, you can see he was honing the skills of being a head coach, and he took all of his experience and learned from him. And when he got to New England, he promoted and sold an idea of, we are a team, and this is how we're going to play. I mean, my last years there, I mean, I was the short yardage nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought? I mean, I was the short yardage, fullback. You know, I go in the game with fullback.
It
was just a team concept.
Yeah, he's done a pretty good job of it, that's for sure. What was it like for you to finally have to walk away from the game? Was it your decision? Was it made that you knew it was time to just say, you know, I've had enough? I've got my body, like you said, you were blessed to stay pretty injury-free.
No, I didn't. It's hard no matter what. I hadn't gotten to the point where, you know, it was a contract negotiation kind of situation where we're going to do this and you're going to do that. And I'd gone through it. Minnesota, I'd gone through it right away in Detroit. Here I am, you know, having towards the end of my career, but still starting nose tackle. There was nobody that was going to take the position, and I go through it again, and I had to sit down and think, 14 years is unheard of, Henry. You know, I'm a nose tackle with 93 and a half or 94 career sacks. I'm at the top of all the statistics that I could be at as a nose tackle, and I'm relatively healthy. I'm very healthy. I think it's time that, you know, but it was still hard. Even though I made the decision and said, this is it, I'm going to retire now, I'm done. It, after you retire and, you know, when training camp is about to start, I mean, I still worked out like I was going to training camp.
Wow.
And when training camp starts, you know, that year, that first year of training camp started, I was absolutely lost.
Hey, this would be a good time to take a break. We're talking to the one and only Hardware Hank, Hank Thomas, former Minnesota Viking, among other places, but of course known here for his outstanding play with the Vikings. We want to turn the page, talk about what's going on in Henry's life and what he'd like to do for the future, which involves coaching as well. So stay with us. You're listening to Purple Past here on the
Vikings Purple Past. Here's the fans, Mark Rosen.
And welcome back to Purple Past. Mark Rosen here along with Henry Thomas, the first of our editions of Purple Past here throughout the Minnesota Vikings season. And Hank, we just got through with you ending your career at the New England Patriots. And I remember your agent, Jeff Duran, very well. And, you know, financially, a lot of players have had trouble. You know them. I'm sure you do very, very well. You did pretty well for yourself. And how important was that sort of process during the course of your career to say, you know, I got to protect my investment here?
Well, another aspect of my life where I can say I was honestly blessed to have met, sat down, and talked with Jeff Duran. I mean, before we became a client agent and friends, you know, he had a plan. He said, this is what I want for you. He says, one thing most NFL players don't realize is in a very short period of time, you're going to be a retired NFL player. And you have to take care of yourself accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with plans and ideas that, you know, that opened my eyes. And I was like, okay, great. I can understand that. I can do that, you know. And it just, like I said, really has blessed me because I've been retired for 11 years now. And, you know, and I'm just starting to think about what I want to do as a second career.
And you have a house full of daughters right now. I mean,
I'm drowning in the sea of estrogen.
I'm just trying to figure out what you do for relaxation to get out of the house once in a while. I know you love them to pieces, but my goodness gracious, what do you got, Natasha? You have Sydney, you got Monica, you got Peyton. I mean, you're Mr. Father, Mr. Dad, but holy cow.
Yes, my girls are my world to me, but I do need a minute, a break from, so when school starts, it's always just a great thing, just a day to come home and just relax in the house, because, you know, my oldest daughter, Natasha, she's 25, and she's understanding, and she's seeing life now, because she's out on her own, but the younger ones, you know, I got 14, 13, and 11.
Drama.
Yeah, the older they get, the dumber I am.
I can relate. But look at your connection with the Vikings isn't that far away because you were back here at Mankato. Tell us about your aspirations. You were back helping coach. I know you'd love to get back into this. Sort of, where's your head at with that right now? And what would you like to be doing here in a short period of time?
Well, I was really thinking about getting into coaching again. I interned about 6 years ago for the Indianapolis coach. I did it under Tony Dungy, and it was a wonderful experience. And I got an opportunity to go and coach, and I turned them down because I was going through a divorce at the time, and I didn't want to leave my girls at that critical time. But I volunteered at the schools, at the high schools, and coached there. And all the young guys that know me, Coach Thomas, you know, would come up to my daughters and said, oh, your dad's a great coach. Oh, he's so cool and better. So now they're a little older, and they're going, you know, Dad, I think you'll be a good coach. So it's like they're kicking me out now.
Yeah. And you, so you're back here in Minnesota. Carl Dunbar, who you know very, very well from LSU, is the defensive line coach. And what's that connection like, and what would you like to end up doing here in another couple of years? Back in the NFL as a coach perhaps someday?
Someday, yes. I would like to be back. I would like to start at, like, the college level. Putting things together to try to do it in some of the local colleges around the Houston area at a point where I can actually teach techniques and importance of doing the step right, of placing your hands right, where they can take that and then go on, because they're still learning it at that stage.
Well, it sounds like an idea. It sounds like a plan. And you watch the technique of the game today, and you had a chance to watch the Vikings. I'd like to get your thoughts about the Vikings' defensive line. And again, you come from one that had a lot of success, as we mentioned, with Chris Dolman, Hall of Famer Johnny Randall, and Keith Millard, and Al Noga. Now they got Jared Allen, Kevin Williams, who has to miss the first couple of games. You know, you got some new guys in there, Brian Robeson, a few other guys. General impressions of this Viking defense and what it takes to win in this league right now.
Well, the Vikings' defensive line is very explosive, a lot like the defensive line that I'm accustomed to playing. I mean, they're powerful, explosive, and all can run. They have a great coach in Carl Dunbar. When I say technique, he is a technique teacher. That's the way we both learn how to play the game, the way we play the game, by learning your techniques and honing your techniques. And he teaches those techniques to those young guys. And when they stick with it and get precise on it, they're going to be unstoppable. They have a very good front defensive line that's going to surprise a lot of people.
That's good to hear. A lot of fans are wondering about this defense right now, especially back in the secondary. But, you know, Kevin Williams, of course, has to sit out the first couple of games. And we mentioned the number of quarterback sacks that your unit had. And, you know, these days the NFL is trying to protect the quarterback, I think, more and more. And there are a lot of fines that are being levied. You'd probably be a little lighter in the pocket if you played today, Henry, because does it seem to you it's a different game that the players can't be as aggressive defensively as they used to be?
Well, you know, you got to protect the health of the individuals. I mean, they're bigger, stronger, and faster. I mean, I go out to intern to help coach, and I'm looking at him like, wow, look at this guy. This mammoth, huge man. And I'm looking at his face. I'm like, what are you, kid? I mean, they're just so much bigger, so much stronger, so much faster. For me to play now, I would have to really do a whole year of retraining from the way we played. I mean, we were, it's not so much of cutting down on the aggression. It's just, you don't want to see the game being played by individuals with a type of malice, like an intent to just, if you put a great hit on a guy, great. But you don't want to see it look as though you're trying to put somebody out of the game, especially with the speed and the size of individuals today.
We're talking to Henry Thomas, former longtime Minnesota Viking, and the Vikings have, a pretty fair running back in Adrian Peterson. You faced one in a guy named Barry Sanders. And I can't imagine, and we always have our favorite list of greatest running backs, his superstar Mike Morris, who you know very well, used to beat up in the locker room quite a bit. He talks about Walter Payton. We both talk about Barry Sanders. Was Barry the best you had faced in your mind?
I'll put it like this. It was so much nicer being on his team than being a kid.
So you got a chance to be his teammate, didn't you? That's right.
Yes, we played together, and Barry is a tremendous guy. I mean, he and I were workout partners after football games, like on Mondays. He was my partner to work out with, and he was just a phenomenal guy, just a quiet to himself, but quiet. Funny, you know, he had a little funny streak in him that, you know, just kept us all going.
And you think about him walking away from the game on top the way he did. I mean, you know, the man could have kept playing, and all of a sudden he was, I'm done. That's it. I'm walking away, and he never looked back.
Never did. Never had a feeling to say, well, maybe. Nope, he just kept going, and that's the way Barry was. Barry was, he knew what his mind was. He knew. I mean, we couldn't touch him in practice, but every time he touched the ball, he ran the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would run all the way to the end zone, all the way back. And you know, we had two rules: no complaining, and don't hit Barry. That was it. That was it for our defense.
Yeah, I think Barry dished out more punishment than he ever received. It seemed like he was always much like Peyton, the guy who was delivering the blow, as opposed to taking too many of those.
Well, yeah, he never had to deliver a whole lot of blows. Everybody was too afraid of his elusiveness that you hardly ever got a clean shot at him.
That's right. Do you like the state of the NFL right now? I mean, there's so much parity. I mean, you understand how close the games are. Super Bowl champs come and go. The Packers open up the season Thursday night against the New Orleans Saints. Do you like, is there a favorite in the league right now? You think maybe a little head and shoulders? Do you feel it's really just truly wide open?
I think it's truly wide open. I mean, you have, it's taken me the 11 years that I have been retired to actually become a fan, because I still look at games and analyze them. Like, I'm sitting with friends and I'll say, oh, man, touchdown. And they're going, what are you talking about here? And they'll throw a touchdown, and they're going, what? And they're looking at them, and I'm going, you didn't see the corner jump underneath guy, and that guy ran a streak up the sideline. You know, they're looking at me like, what? It's taken me this long to become a fan of the game, because I've always been a student of the game.
Sure.
I've always just broken the films down, and when I'm watching the game, I know when the blitz is coming, and I'm calling out the formations of the offense.
Yeah,
it's taken this long for me to become a fan, and I do. I am impressed with the state of the way the game is going, because this is what you want. You don't want to know every year it's going to be. You know, you want your team to be that powerhouse, but you always want to. You have that other team looming that's going to be that this much better or that much better, and or have this guy and this team has that guy, and it just keeps it. It keeps it fresh, and it keeps everybody so involved in it. I mean, I have friends that, you know, I have a friend who's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and when we go to watch the game, he's an all Pittsburgh Steelers. He can tell you, I mean, he's to the point where he's at, and that's how you want the fans to be. You want them to be that involved into the game and into the team.
Well,
I think they're moving in that direction.
Yeah, the lockout certainly was a wake-up call for a lot of people, and I think the people missed it, even though they really didn't miss any football. And you understand, between fantasy football and everything else that goes on in this country, why the NFL is king of the hill when it comes to television ratings and everything else, believe me. Well, Henry, sounds like things are going very well for you. Real quick, in our last minute, keeping up with some of your former teammates, Johnny Randall, I assume the motor mouth, do you keep in touch with him once in a while?
I keep in touch with Johnny. Chris and I, generally, Chris Dolman and myself, we generally take one or two trips together a year to go and play golf and relax, or I'll go visit him. He always comes up and plays in my member guest golf tournament here in Houston. So Keith Millard and I, we talk all the time. So yeah, I keep up with a lot of the guys.
Well, Henry, I can't thank you enough for your time. It's been a pleasure talking with you again. Appreciate, on behalf of all the Viking fans, for all the years of service and being yourself more than anything. And we wish you nothing but the best and hope to see you maybe in a Viking uniform again, if nothing else, as a coach some down the road. You never know. That could happen as well. So thanks much for your time tonight.
Well, thank you very much. And you guys, good luck to everybody.
All right. Henry Thomas, the one and only Henry Thomas from the Minnesota Vikings. This is Mark Rosen. You've been listening to Purple Past right here on The Fan.